Hi there, and greetings to everyone seeking and hoping to find the true meaning of life, those sick and tired of this poisonous world whose soul and spirit are bleeding, and of the emptiness and futility of this materialistic civilization. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. Welcome to our world of supreme love and immortality, where all human hopes are fulfilled. Welcome to the world of Orthodox Christian spirituality, a world now unknown to the West, which once had the key, but lost it a long time ago, the key that has an answer to every question. My name is monk Arsenije Jovanović. I live in the monastery of Ostrog, Montenegro. It is never too easy to talk on spiritual issues, especially when it has to be in foreign language, which is English to me. I apologize in advance for possible mistakes. However, I believe God will help me to say the word and you to understand it. So, let us embark on our waves. Good evening, dear listeners. Today is 14th of October 2014. It is, as they call it, Indian summer. The weather is beautiful, sunny, dry, good for my rheumatic bones and joints. I'm sitting in my monastery, covered and protected from this crazy world which is all around us. And since I have been reading worldly thinkers of this world, thinkers not from church and religious issues, but from the mundane or worldly or civilian way of thinking, today especially, but even in the past, beginning more or less from French Revolution, 18th and 19th century, it is forbidden to say that somebody is heretic, that there is a heresy, or any kind of dogma in general. When you say dogma, dogmatism, from the very start, it has a bad connotation, something wrong, something that locks up my liberty, something that suppresses my freedom, something that makes me not a free person. So any kind of dogma is something bad and something that should be expelled from the any kind of thinking or conversation. Also, when you say that there is a heresy or somebody is heretic, it's also forbidden to say something like this, because everybody has the right to believe and to do whatever they want. So basically, if that's the truth, there is no heresy, because the heresy comes from Greek word heresis, which means to take out of context, to think wrong, not to be right. So since today the freedom of everything is so proclaimed strongly, so there is no heresy, there is no wrong thinking, there is no wrong believing, there is no true or wrong religion or opinion about spiritual life or anything else. So when you say today that somebody is heretic, you're going to be scorned, you're going to be criticized as somebody who is not liberal. But thinking about events these days, I came to conclusion that even though it is said that dogma doesn't exist and something like that is bad, there is dogma today. There is a dogmatic way of thinking. Moreover, it's imperative of today's world. And also, there is a heresy, and they are heretics. Although they are not characterized openly this way, but it is like this. So I will tell you what do I mean. So today, when you say that a gay movement, homosexualism, gay parades, LGBT, all this thing about this issue, when you say that this is wrong, and when you say that homosexuals are, in general, people who are wrong, and people who are deviated, people who are sick in general, and that they need help, they need healing, they need therapy, that we don't have to hate them, or beat them, or burn them, but we have to help them, like society in general. When you say something like this, everybody, they're going to stand up, and they're going to shout on you, and they're going to open their mouth on you to show with their fingers on you. And you are going to be a heretic if you say that gay and lesbian movement is something wrong and sick. And to be true believer, because this way you are mistaking, you're a heretic. Because there is a true belief, there is a dogma. And today's dogma is that everything which was crazy and sick in the past, today is normal and right. So today's dogma is that everybody can do whatever they want, especially in these sexual mutations. So there is dogma and there is heresy. It really does exist, but it only switched the positions. So if you say, oh yes, of course, to have two men or two women on the street kissing and holding each other, when you say this is right, this is normal, this is good, then you are a true believer and you are fitting into the mind frame of this world. But if you say something against it, you are going to be condemned as a heretic. So the dogma and the heresy does exist. And it is a lie if we say that today is freedom. It's not freedom. I, as a straight heterosexual person, if I express my opinion that this is wrong, then I will be criticized as somebody who is wrong. So I'm not going to have freedom to express myself. And recently there was finally performed a gay parade, LGBT parade, in Belgrade, capital of the Republic of Serbia. And last several years it was a kind of pretty big issue in Serbia and Belgrade, whether it should be performed or not. There was even a great riot about it several years ago. The city was ruined because people reacted in a way like it always reacted on such a things. Especially young people, they were against something like this. Because the whole movement against this movement called themselves, we are for family, we are for life, we are for giving birth. And they said, why do they want a parade? Why do they want to show off? Because the law is already completely on their side. So in today's law in Serbia, there is no penalty for somebody who is homosexual. So they have their freedom. They have their gay bars, gay clubs. They have their own rights in any aspect of everyday life, even on work, on job, or on street, everywhere. So why there is a need and such a strong necessity to show themselves openly, kissing and holding and doing all kinds of crazy things through the streets of the capital? It is an irritation. So they know that this way they are going to irritate. So why to do this? Because I, as a heterosexual, as a straight person, also have my rights to think that this is something immoral, abnormal, and I have right to raise my children this way. And we strongly believe that the future is in, of course, in heterosexual marriages, in normal family, not in anti-family. There is a family and anti-family, like a matter and antimatter. There was gay activist, Mrs. Masha Gessen. She's Russian, although she says that she has an American citizenship as well. And she openly states, her statement, his open statement on the internet is that they are openly against the family, like it is today. This kind of family has to be destroyed, because it's not good. That's what she thinks. And that new kind of family has to be introduced into the human race. And these families are going to be not two parents, despite that these are going to be homosexuals, gays or lesbians. Not two parents, but four or five parents. Maybe some of them are going to be whatever. Heterosexual, homosexuals, gays, and lesbians. But two parents are not enough for a child. So she says that the family has to be destroyed and the new type of family has to be introduced. And this new type of family actually looks like those first tribal forms of family, where in one tribe everybody was sleeping with everybody, and the women were taking care about the children from all of the members from the tribe. So it is like, it looks like they want to go back to tribal form of society. Everybody sleeps with everybody, there is no marriage, there is no wife and husband, and so one child, through their imagination, one day is going to have two or three mothers and two or three fathers, and most likely many of them are going to be homosexuals or lesbians. So this is all absolutely clear that madness, slowly but surely, coming into our lives, into today's society, in today's humanity. And to say yes, all these crazy things are normal, to admit this, you are going to be accepted as a full member of this society. If you say something against this, you are going to be chased and persecuted and stigmatized as a heretic, somebody who is not liberal, something who lives in dark medieval age. And today Serbia, poor and wretched Serbia, who went through all these ordeals, now she goes through another ordeal, and this is acceptance or not in European community. And as our president not that long time ago claimed in one of his interviews in Serbian television, he says, well, dear citizens, you know, if we want to join the European community, we have to accept their way of thinking, their system of values. And their system of values says that it's normal to be homosexual, and not only that, but to make, for example, art exhibition where you see on the painting or on the photograph, you see, for example, Jesus Christ with a long, big penis and things like this. Or Virgin Mary covered with fecalia, covered with excrements, human excrements, and all kinds of mocking and ridiculing the most holy symbols for some people and for this humanity as it was a long time ago. So one of the main conditions for today's Serbia to join European community is to perform and to allow homosexual parade to go through capital city of Belgrade. And some other things as well, like this blasphemous exhibition last year when the gay parade was not allowed, but then they pressed the public opinion to allow this blasphemous art exhibition to be installed and performed in Serbia. And it was blocked and kept with strong forces of police. And this was this sick and very insolent Swedish artist who made these photos with Son of God, Jesus Christ, in such an obscene look and way. It was really terrible. And this year's gay parade was protected by tanks and army vehicles in the center of the city. Looked like it's a wartime. So it all shows that sickness and craziness and madness, insanity and upside down of all the merits is on the scene right now in the world. And these poor, wretched leaders of today's Serbia, they want to join decadent and sick European community, and they are going to do everything and anything which is asked from them, which is ordered to them, in order to be accepted as a slaves, as a cheap workers for Western Europe, who always looked at Balkans only as a good possibility to have slaves and cheap working power. And for Western Europeans and Americans, it was not enough that a gay parade will be performed, but in front of parade, there should be representatives of government. So we have several ministers walking in front of this group of these sick people, and they were not even aware of it. They were not conscious that in what kind of position they found themselves. But they were so humiliated this way. They were so ridiculed. They were so mocked. Proudly to walk in front of this crazy crowd of sick persons. Poor Serbia. Poor Europe. Poor America. Poor all humanity who is walking and marching right into the deep pit, into the abyss. So what can we do? We have to love everybody. We have to love these homosexuals, these poor lesbian girls. We have to love them. We have to forgive them. We have to pray for them, for them to come to their senses, to realize in what kind of delusion they are. And another thing during this ridiculous gay parade was that these pictures are already on internet through all over the world. One picture, there is a gay man, young man, holding a big transparent, a big paper bill. And on this big paper photograph, you see the patriarch of Serbian Orthodox Church, Irinej. And underneath this big photo, it says, "I will pay $1 million just to have one night with you." And there is another big transparent, big picture with Metropolitan Amfilohije, who is the head of Serbian Orthodox Church in Montenegro. And this lesbian girl says, "Find somebody and kiss with him for hours." So this gay and lesbian community received permission to perform their gay parade. And they have all the law, all the possibilities from the law to be what they are. But why do they need to insult? They didn't receive freedom to insult the high church dignitaries. And I'm sure that the president of Serbia or the president of France or any president of Europe or America, if Mr. President would see in the front of gay parade, big picture, big photograph, big bill with a picture of his father and with a saying underneath, "I'm giving $1 million to sleep with you this night, to have a sex with you." I'm not sure that this president, especially the president of Serbia today, will be happy or would tolerate something like this. But they didn't say a word, and these two persons were not prosecuted. They were not punished. They had to be punished to pay a high fee, or if they don't have money, to go to jail. Because for such an insult, it's really terrible. But nobody said anything about it. So we can expect, I understand from this event, from this fact, that they are going to be more and more insolent. Because if they insulted such a high church dignitaries, they're not going to stop this way. They're going to insult more and more, because they see they are covered and they are protected. So we see this way that the madness is taking over the humanity and all the values are getting upside down. So which was virtue and merit, now it's vice. And what was vice and sin and madness, today is virtue. But thank God we still know what is right and what is wrong. And we still have our holy Orthodox Christian Church, which is a reliquary of truth and sanity and normality and everything which is and which was always normal and God-pleasing. So if they are talking about freedoms, about liberty, real freedom, real free society, real society which really takes care about its members, would tenderly and very lovingly and very warmly, this society would approach these persons with a goodwill, and they would take care about them. They would work with them. This kind of society, normal, free, sane society, would work with this kind of persons, with this kind of sickness, in a right manner. They would show them, and it would show them, and it would help them to overcome this weakness and this sickness. This kind of society would have institutions for healing this kind of people with love and tenderness, with very serious approach, because today's society is going towards destruction of regular, normal family. And somebody say that there is this plan of the rulers of this world, which is called Bilderberg Club, or whatever it is called, Freemasonry, whatever. I don't care about the names. Maybe all those names are wrong, but those I don't know how many tens or hundreds or of strong, rich families who are ruling this world, and we all know that that's the truth, that some of the presidents are just obedient disciples of those strong money-holding families. There is this theory that they want to reduce the population, because today there is too much people in the world, and it cannot be handled well for them as well. So they say AIDS is there because of that. They say many other things, and this gay movement is actually fitting in this whole theory, because with raising of this gay population, the normal family is going to be reduced, and the number of people as well. So unfortunately, it all comes from the point of view from the Western Europe first, and then with the constituting of America, that Christianity failed, that there is no God, that God is dead, the church is wrong, and the church dignitaries are just thieves and liars and bad people. And it really has some reason to think this way, because it's, if we take a look on Western church, first Roman Catholic and then Protestant, we see that they departed from the true teaching of Christ. And out of lust for power, for worldly power, they changed dogmas. They changed the truth of the faith. And at the same time, immediately, they lost the God's grace. And slowly, during the centuries, starting with 11th century until today, the Western Church, the Western Christian Church, has been losing the clear sight towards heavens and towards earth. And they lost the gift of the Holy Spirit. They lost the grace. They lost the moral. They lost sanity. And of course, when you take a look on such a church, on such a church dignitaries, priests and bishops, you just feel that something is wrong there. But unfortunately, and to great sadness, people of today's Europe, Western world, and America are saying, since the church is like this, and the church dignitaries are this way, then there is no God. Or if there is a God, I don't need this kind of God. Because if this God was wrong, the true one, he would have good church and good priests. But it is absolutely wrong way of point of thinking, standpoint of thinking. It is same like with the milk. When milk gets bad, sour, then it's not good for drinking. And instead of being nutritious, it becomes poisonous. So the same thing happened with the Western Christian Church. It became bad. It lost good taste. It became sour. So when you taste it, you don't feel good. You feel sick. And that's why today's Europe refused to be Christian anymore. But the thing is that if you know the taste of the milk, then you would know when it gets bad. But if you do not remember the real taste of good and sweet milk, and when you know only for sour, bad milk, you would say that milk in general is something bad. In the past, when people were still remembering the true church, they would never say that the church is generally something wrong. But today's people in West, they only know for this bad church. So when you say church, they immediately have idea of something bad, which and something which is not good for them, and something which is not important in life at all. And not only that, not only important, but something that can only make your life harder. So also with somebody who never tasted good milk, normal milk, healthy milk, they would say whenever they see milk, because they only know for bad, sour milk, they would say milk is something bad in general. So that's why, unfortunately, through the centuries, people in West, they forgot what the real church is. So, to my great disappointment, when you say and when you mention to a Westerner, when you mention Orthodox Christian Church, for them, that is completely the same thing. For them, the church is something, is the same. Western or Eastern, Roman Catholic or Orthodox or Protestant, to them, the Christian church in general failed. So from that starting point, people of today's Western world, they do not consult anymore the Christian dogmas, the Christian teaching, Christian moral, the teaching of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And if you do not consult the Son of God, you will consult and you will listen and you will obey Antichrist, the one who is against Christ, the one whose name is Satan, Of course, people of today's world, they're going to say, ah, come on, don't give me that anymore. There is no God, there is no devil, there is nothing. There is only what we see and what we can touch and what we can smell and what we can taste. This material world, spiritual one, doesn't exist, and don't bother me anymore with this. And when you start your life from this point of view, you will of course end up just with your body, just with lusts and needs and necessities of your body, and you are not going to pay any attention to needs and necessities of your soul, because there is no soul, there is no spirit, and let us only enjoy with our bodies. So if my sick body and if my sick mind tells me, go and introduce your penis into the anus of other man, that's good. Doesn't matter that from his anus the excrements are going out. Something the most dirty and full of infection and germs that are getting out from a human being. No, with a sick man, he's fascinated with anus of other man, and he is going to introduce his penis into his anus, into the most dirty part of human body, and he will find great enjoyment in there, and he will tell others to do the same thing, and he will make parades when they are going to show how this thing is beautiful and good. But doesn't matter that Apostle Paul says that homosexuals are not going to inherit kingdom of God. Of course, there today Saint Paul is ridiculed. But we Christians of today's world, of today's crazy world, who believe in Christ and who walk by the steps and who follow the steps of Jesus Christ, Son of God, and who perform and who believe and obey His commandments, we know deeply in our hearts that it is absolutely true whatever He was saying in Gospels. He, the Son of God. So when you believe, when you fulfill all those commandments, you understand that they are not commandments. It is an appeal for us how to stay healthy, how to stay normal, how to stay in real joy. Not in joy who is going to last only until I finish with sex with my partner, or only until I swallow my lunch, or only until I smoke up and finish my joint. Welcome to our radio show, The Way, The Truth, The Life. But the real joy of real existence, it comes from the Son of God. And when we fulfill this, what he says, when we do like he advises, then we see, then we understand, then we feel deep in our hearts that this is true. And that if the whole world goes to the verge of abyss and jumps down there and calls us, says, come, come with us, jump in abyss, it's good down there. You see, we are all jumping. Why don't you jump with us? No, I'm going to say, if the whole world is going to jump down into the abyss, I'm not going to do that, because I know that I'm just going to be destroyed in this abyss. So that's why it is extremely important to stay sane, to stay normal, to stay with a healthy mind, and to read and to learn of the Lord, to learn what God has to say to us, because He's not there to perform His strength and to humiliate us. He loves us like His children, and all His commandments are there just to help us to be normal and sane and sound in this world, and through this kind of living to deserve and to be prepared for transfer to another world when our bodies die. So that's why I became Christian in those holy days, in those really the most beautiful days of mine when I converted into the faith. It was 25 years ago, back there in New York City, in Brooklyn, where I used to live, when I felt, after my first prayers to Jesus Christ, this immense love who came down from open heavens above me. So that's why I said to myself, this is so beautiful, this is so real, this is so true, I have to go after this. So that's why I came finally to Monastery of Dečani, and I started my life as a novice in Kosovo, in the Monastery of Visoki Dečani, Tall Dečani. So in our last meeting, I was trying to explain those diabolical events that happened to me. But now I will tell about something completely different, about something divine that happened. Although these kind of things were happening many times, but this was one of the first beautiful sensations that I received in the Monastery of Visoki Dečani. It was also during the first year of mine in the monastery. In the meantime, of course, I have to mention this, Bishop Artemi came, and so it was like, I think, about 1 month after I entered Visoki Dečani, and I told him about my wish to stay in this monastery, and he said, Brother Alexander, it's up to you. If you really want to stay here, then may it be blessed. Stay here, and now you're officially becoming a member of the Monastery of Visoki Dečani. So I have written also an appeal, just to make it official, and I received it back with a stamp of the monastery and with a signature of the bishop. So finally, I became a member. I became a brother of this holy family of Visoki Dečani. So I think about 2 months. So I think about 3 or 4 months after I arrived, and when whole thing about this diabolical sounds which were waking me up during the night, and after the prayer of Father Abbott, they disappeared. So I was kind of in peace for the next couple of months. And then I remember one day, I was reading my prayer rule. It was afternoon, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I was reading my prayer rule, planning to finish it around 4:30, and then to prepare for the church, because the Vesper service, the evening service in the church, was starting at 5 o'clock p.m. And I remember I was very much concentrated, because the attention is not always ready and strong when we read our prayers, when we pray mentally. The whole thing with the prayer is actually is with attention, because very often our attention is very weak, and we are drifting with our mind and with our thoughts, and the prayer is very superficial. But sometimes, we never know how, the attention is much stronger, and then we are not disturbed with any thoughts, and we are deep in prayer and in some kind of sublime freedom. And only after many years, I have deeply realized and understood that a real, strong, healthy, and important attention in prayer is actually a divine gift. And we always have to pray for attention when we are approaching a prayer, because attention is extremely important. So when we drift with our mind and with our thoughts, prayer is weak, is not deep, doesn't go to the root and straight up to the heavens. So this time, somehow, I felt that my attention is very strong, very clear. I was reading slowly. It was Gospel. I think it was Mark's Gospel, called Evangelist Mark. I was reading extremely slowly. I remember I never read something in such a slow manner, extremely slowly, pronouncing every word, slowly and slowly, and in great peace of mind and heart. It was extremely beautiful feeling, and I stayed much longer in this reading of Gospels than I planned. I just felt, and I remembered Holy Fathers when they say, if you feel certain sweetness in reading Psalter or Acatists or Jesus Prayer or Gospels, do not change, even if this is the way of your prayer rule. Do not change in this moment. Just be, stay, continue in this kind of reading. It gives you the sweetness, this attention, this clarity of the mind. So I remembered this advice, and I didn't switch to Psalter. I just stayed, I just continued reading slowly Gospels. And I just came to myself when I heard wooden call, wooden beating on the wood, which was Semantron calling for the Vespers. And I just closed my book, prayer, my Gospel, Bible. I dressed myself, and slowly, everything was like in slow motion. I was just in deep, great peace and serenity. I was walking without any thoughts in my mind, just peace and clarity of my mind. I was walking down the dormitory building and towards the church. And when I entered the church, our altar screen is gilded, and it's in good shape, and it's very big, and it's carved. It's beautiful Baroque wood carving, and everything is gilded. And of course, it shines, but it never shined in this way like it did this time when I entered the church. I approached the main icon for venerating. So when I lifted my eyes towards the altar screen, I was so amazed and almost blinded by the shine and the bright light which was coming from the altar screen covered with this gold. Everything was shining. This glow was so beautiful. Everything was glowing. Everything was shining. Everything was so bright light. And it was so bright that I couldn't see, I couldn't watch. So I lowered my eyes, my look. But nevertheless, this light was coming into me. And I was feeling that I'm shining from inside, that I'm all transparent. And it was such a beautiful feeling. I was like in a paradise. The bright light was all around me and is entering into myself, and with such a great peace and joy that it was really hard to explain, almost impossible to explain. And then I came to the clearance and I took my position in the back of the singers, because I was still not very versed in singing, in church chanting. So I didn't chant yet, but sometimes I would read some prayers. So I stayed there, and I was standing there for 45 minutes, like without feeling the floor, my body, my bones, my heaviness. I thought, Lord Jesus Christ, if there is a heaven, if there is a paradise, now I'm in it. Please do not let this feeling go out of me, to leave me. Please take my life, take my soul right now. I don't want to go back in that old, normal, ordinary feeling, state of my mind. This is something divine. This is something really lofty. But of course, as the Holy Fathers say, these visitations of the grace, of the Holy Grace, do not last forever. They're just coming to tell us that it is there, that it is alive, that a God is alive, and that His energies can come in touch with us, can sanctify us, can divinize us, and they can make us little gods by grace, not by essence, of course. So for several days after this event, I felt like in heavens, all nonstop, for three days, I think. And then I remembered sayings of the Holy Fathers when they were talking about the divine light, uncreated light. It is called uncreated light because it was never created. It always coexisted with the divinity, with the Lord, with God. And sometimes it shows itself to Christians, to holy people in general, but to us mortals as well, in those important beginning days, beginning years of our Christian life, to instruct us, to tell us, and to teach us that the God is alive and that we can get in touch with Him. So it was so beautiful. And it was really the uncreated light. It was really this divine light. Although I was not worthy of it, of course. I didn't deserve it. But it was a gift. It was a a divine gift, like many other gifts that true Christians are receiving and tasting it from the kingdom of the Lord, which is all around us, but we are just blind to see it. So sometimes this divine light is enlightening us, and then we can see that the Lord is alive, and that everything what He said and everything what He told us in His Holy Bible is really true, and that we do not have to believe some people, but we can taste it ourselves, which is the most important thing. So I will never forget this holy afternoon with the holy divine light that appeared to me. And this apparition was so real, much more real than this real world that we can touch and feel and smell and see. So it stayed in my memory so strong that I will never forget it. And how can I forget it? The apparition and this holy phenomenon. Thank God for those beautiful holy moments which were changing my life and making me stronger and stronger in my decision to continue in a spiritual combat for my own salvation and of course also for salvation of others. Because to confess and to state and to witness these things, it is very important for others. Because without those witnesses from the past, I would never go after the Lord. But when I read in the books of the Holy Fathers, what do they say about all these mysteries of the living God? Then I said, this is finally the real teaching. After all those teachings, especially from the Far East, Buddhism, Hinduism, Zen Buddhism, Tibetan Buddhism, and all this Far East thinking, and of course, Kabbalah, Jewish Kabbalah, also Muslim Sufi, I have realized this is the most sublime, most serious, and most mystical, and most sober teaching in religion, the Orthodox Christianity. So after this happening, my life continued on in Visoki Dečani. The days for somebody from outside, from the outer world, could seem monotonous. Every day in the church, then working, obediences, then afternoon prayer, little rest, then afternoon church, then evening prayers, sleep, waking up during the night, morning prayers, church, and the same circle every day. But this looks monotonous only from outside. But from inside, it was extremely rich in spiritual happenings and events. And those first years, those beginning years of my monastic life, were full of true, deep, repentant prayers. From the deepest depths of my heart, I was praying every day. And very often, maybe every day, I would have tears. But those were also divine gift tears. Because you cannot cry, you cannot weep in the prayer whenever you want. It is a God's gift. And through these tears, the soul is so cleansed, so pure, so bright. And then this divine serenity comes to your mind, comes to your heart, and refreshes you, recovers you, and makes you really a full human being. And we are only in the fullness of our human state only when we are in touch with the Holy Spirit, with the Lord Himself. And for somebody from outside, he would say, oh, this monastic life, these poor monks, it's so boring. They have nothing. They don't go to the movies, to theaters, to soccer matches. They don't have girls. They don't have to nightclubs. They don't go to motorbike drivings. They don't go to vacations. But all our joys and vacations and nightclubs and girls and everything is within our monastic cell. When the skies get open and when the divine light with divine love comes and fills us up, then we travel through all the heavens, through the universe. We travel with our spirit and we are watching the unexplainable worlds, completely unknown worlds. And we travel through these worlds with our spirit and we watch and we hear and we taste and we listen to what we see and hear there. But there is no human tongue that can explain this. So that's why for a real monk to stay in his cell is extremely much more important than to run around this world and to grasp little pieces of some kind of cheap enjoyment. And not only for monks, but for every true Christian to pray and to have one part of his day to stay alone for a prayer for peace, is extremely valuable and important. So that's why we real Christians, we feel pity for those poor homosexuals, because poor them, they think the highest enjoyment is to have orgasm in somebody else's anus. Poor them. Isn't it very close to animals? Animals only have their bodily pleasures. But we, humans, we are given to be little gods, to enjoy heavenly pleasures and enjoyments. So Christ came exactly for this, to show us and to tell us that there is something much better from food, from sex, from drugs. From this beautiful world, there is another, much more beautiful. That doesn't mean that everybody has to go to the monasteries, that everybody has to close their eyes and don't have to watch this beautiful world. But only to have idea and to be aware that another world is much better, and we can feel it and we can grasp it, we can have it even during this life, only being true active Christians, and to flee away from those carnal lusts which are separating us from the true Lord and from the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those kinds of meetings with the Lord happened many times through my life as a monk in a monastery of Visoki Dečani. But then finally, 1995, there came the day of my monastic tonsure, which was one of the most important and one of the most bright and joyful days of my life. About my monastic tonsure, I will tell you in our next meeting. Goodbye, good night, and pray for me. Thank you for listening Radio Svetigora, the radio station of the Serbian Orthodox Church, Diocese of Montenegro and the Seaside. Blessed by His High Eminence, Metropolitan Amfilohije.